The Lord be with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Now a man was ill, Lazarus from Bethany, the village of Mary and his sister Martha. Mary was one who had anointed the Lord with perfumed oil and dried his feet with her hair. It was her brother Lazarus who was ill. So the sister sent word to him saying, "Master, the one you love is ill." When Jesus heard this, he said, "This illness is not to end in death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was ill, he remained for 2 days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples, "Let's go back to Judea." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were trying to stone you, and you want to go back there?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in a day? If one walks during the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks at night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him." He said this and then told them, "Our friend Lazarus is asleep, but I am going to awaken him." So the disciples said to him, "Master, if he is asleep, he will be saved." But Jesus was talking about his death, while they thought that he meant ordinary sleep. So Jesus said to them clearly, "Lazarus has died, and I am glad for you that I was not there, that you may believe. Let us go to him." So Thomas, called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us go to die with him." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, only about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary sat at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been there, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise." Martha said to him, "I know he will rise in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus told her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I have come to believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, the one who's coming into the world." When she said this, she went and called her sister Mary, secretly saying, "The teacher is here and asking for you." As soon as she heard this, she rose quickly and went to him, for Jesus had not come into the village, but was still with Martha when he had met him. So when the Jews were with her in the house confronting her, saw Mary get up quickly and go out, and they followed her, presuming that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been there, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had came with her weeping, he became perturbed and deeply troubled and said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Sir, come and see." And Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not one who opened the eyes of the blind have done something to this man who would not have died?" So Jesus, perturbed again, came to the tomb, and it was a cave, and the stone lay across it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the dead man's sister, said to him, "But Lord, now there will be a stench." He had been dead for 4 days. Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus raised his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you for hearing me. I know that you always hear me, but because of the crowd, here I have said this, that they may believe that you sent me." And when he said this, he cried out aloud, "Lazarus, come out." And the dead man came out, tied hand and foot with burial bands, and his face was wrapped in cloth. So Jesus said to them, "Untie him and let him go." Now many of the Jews who had come to Mary had seen what had been done and began to believe in him. The Gospel of the Lord.
And here we've just received the third great gospel of the Lent, great gospel of John. These three gospels, I've already told you, represent or prepare us to live in choir and to celebrating the Paschal Vigil. They were meant to prepare catechumens, but of course, during each Eastern liturgy, we ourselves are invited to renew our baptismal grace. So they are given also for us to introduce us to this liturgy of the liturgies, to the most sacred liturgy of the year. And they present three very important symbols that are present also during the liturgy: the symbol of water, of light, and of life. The three symbols, the three revelations, auto-revelations of Jesus that we shall meet during the Paschal Vigil, that are very important also in the context of baptism. And by reading these Gospels, we are not only invited just to understand the symbols that shall appear during the liturgy, but also to ask ourselves questions about faith. This is not only a point for our catechumens, but this is also a task for each of us, to ask about our faith, that faith that we shall acknowledge, that we shall confirm during the Paschal liturgy. And we can observe, we're already on the third gospel, that in each one of these three gospels, their heroes, their protagonists, confess their faith. They confess that Jesus is Christ, is Messiah, that Jesus is healer. But today, we will witness something much more important, something we'd say liminal here. But it's also Jesus who reveals himself. He reveals himself as the source of water, as the teacher. That is how Samaritan woman has met him. He reveals himself as a healer. He doesn't restore just vision for this blind man, but he gives it, he creates his vision. He also enlightens his faith. And today, that is really strong, that we what we witness here. He resurrects Lazarus. He brings him back to life. So in this way, he participates in a divine energy. And we're just, you know, at the last step is before us to acknowledge that Jesus is indeed God. With the one who was teaching, there used to be many teachers. There are still quite a lot of teachers in the world. Healers, yeah, that is some divine gift, some great grace, but it may testify of a great relation with God. But with the one who brings somebody from death, and that's for the first time in the Gospel, in the Holy Bible, you'd find seven acts, seven miracles of somebody who has died and has been resurrected. And this one with Lazarus, and John is very particular about it, that he spent 4 days in tomb. So usually it's over. Yeah? All other healing, all other miracle was just during the first day after the death. Here, it's not just 3 days, it's 4 days. It's way over that. Nonetheless, Jesus enters and brings Lazarus back. And he doesn't do it freely. And that is something that is very heartbreaking and very strong in how John builds his narration. And if you know the context, that is just after this act, that's the last miracle of Jesus in John, when the decisions to kill him shall be taken. So in John, we always have this double perspective. We have the perspective of human desires, human ideas, and this wickedness that shall bring the death of Jesus. But we know as well that there's another theological plan, theological perspective there, and that we're by his death and resurrection, Jesus is entering at some kind of metaphysical level. He just calls the death. He's not the one who wins over human. He wins over evil and over death. And here we can say that this calculus of death has been broken in a way, has been distracted. Lazarus has already been sentenced to death. Jesus comes to steal Lazarus from the arms of death. But the calculus must be correct. Jesus steps in to take the Lazarus place. It's not just a free kind of miracle. So it's not a magician trick. Actually, by this last miracle, Jesus reveals himself as the one who risks with his own life, who devotes, who sacrifices himself for each of us to live. And that is because of that Jesus shall be destined to die. And that's also how I read this dialogue with Thomas, who says, let us go with him to die. I think it's not so much of his zeal here. It's more of a prophetic insight. And John likes in his gospel to use this double perspective. That maybe on a human perspective, Thomas was just a very hasty, very zealous person. But if John quotes this sentence, this phrase by Thomas, it is always to give the meaning of what we are witnessing. Jesus comes to steal the dead Lazarus. He takes his place. A few years ago, I had a chance to view a kind of inscenization of Handel's oratorio Theodora. It's one of his oratorios that are based on the history of early Christians, and Theodora was just one of the martyrs who just stood against the Roman pagan idolatry, and she was sentenced to become a sacral prostitute and finally to be killed for her faith. But there is Didymus. He loves her. He's not yet Christian. He is inspired by Christians, and he decides to go to the prison and take her place, to substitute her. And in the inscenization, I had a chance to witness, the director did something congenial. There was, in the oratorio, in some moment, the choir sings the history of Jesus resurrecting the young man of Nain. And during this resurrection, the singer that was playing, Didymus, was just reading the Bible. And at some moment, and it was a kind of surprise from the from all the spectators, his place was taken by another young man in very bright bright robes. And in that way, I tend to believe that what director wanted to demonstrate, to present us, to see in what way Didymus, taking place of his beloved Theodora, taking sacrifice in her place, enacts or imitates Jesus. And that is by that kind of his devotion, of his act of courage, of love, that he discovers the love of Christ who did it for us all. And that is by this circumstances of life that he starts to believe in Christ. He can find sense, he can find meaning of what he did in what Jesus has done for us all. And this is the last straw. Afterwards, it's only a question of death and life. Jesus shall be sentenced to death. And in next week, when we come here, we shall hear the gospel of the Passion. After the resurrection of Lazarus, there is no step backward. But from our perspective, it's not a story of some kind of political agenda, some political strategy just to eliminate Jesus. If that is the last step and nothing more can be done from here on, that is because the Christ love is consequent here. And that is not a kind of determinism and a kind of determination and a kind of fate, but by what Jesus does, he shows us what are the consequences, what does it mean for God to love. It is not just to make some miracles. It is not just to teach us. It is not just to help us understand, find sense in the things that seems meaningless, that may look like look absurd for us, like death, like suffering. He doesn't hesitate to take this last ultimate step, to take our place, and by that, to give us love. When from the human perspective, death seems to be the last point, he takes this point for himself, and he passes over it, he passes through it to open us also our path. And that is the one in whom we trust. That is the only love in which is worth trusting. It is the only one who is who can merit the full faith by this gospels that started with Samaritan woman, by the man blind from his all his life, and by the resurrection of the Lazarus. We come to discover the one who merits our trust, the one in whom we put our faith.